Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's great to be with you. It's great to continue to be with you. Don Lambro is our guest. He's chief political reporter for the Washington Times and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's also the author of Fat City. Many of you will remember that book. And he's our good friend, Don Lambro. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always. Don, what would you say is the big news going on these days in Washington, D.C.? Is it it's got to be the announcement of the retirement of Associate Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman ever appointed to the Supreme Court.
Well, sure. There hasn't been a change in way over a decade. And so that is the big news. And a lot of people, of course, thought it would be Chief Justice Rehnquist. But he's a tough old bird. It doesn't look like he's going to budge anytime soon, particularly since one member of the court already has announced her retirement. And so that is. But there's a lot of other big things are happening. $100 billion decrease in the federal budget deficit. That is huge. It hasn't gotten really very much attention. And of course, in a short time, the Ways and Means Committee chairman will probably be coming out with a Social Security reform bill, which has dominated Washington's debate. But certainly the court now takes front and center, no doubt about that.
Well, here's what I'm going to predict, and not that this is any great genius on my part. It doesn't take a lot to see this. Some of my folks in the city there inside the Beltway are telling me that they think that Rehnquist and O'Connor basically, decided that she would go first and he would go second. And it sounds to me, but what I'm hearing is that there's going to wind up being three confirmations or not over the next 3 to 6 months. Sandra Day O'Connor's replacement, Rehnquist will retire, and Scalia will probably be moved into, or President Bush will probably nominate him as the Chief Justice. That will require a whole new confirmation. And then the replacement of Scalia. So that's three, perhaps, this year. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. That sounds a little too ambitious for me. I do agree that I think Rehnquist probably knew from Sandra Day O'Connor what she was going to do because of his own situation and his health. So I'm sure she told him very, very early on because I think her decision had to be predicated on what was he going to do and what effect would that have on putting more than one Supreme Court justice nomination on the plate of Congress. And I think they think that through very carefully. He's a tough guy, and he was on the bench, of course, in the last week, and going into work.
What is he? Is he? What is he about?
Be premature of his retirement.
Is he? What is he? 80 years old or so?
I believe more than that. That's right. And he's been taking his chemotherapy, and he has been on the bench, and he has. Participated in the work of the court, and so I think the predictions of his retirement may be a little bit premature. I wouldn't want to predict what he's going to do. He is a tough man, and I think what he's doing is inspiring everyone.
I'll tell you, it's inspiring me, Don, and I mean that. I mean that with all sincerity.
Same here.
He is a patriot's patriot, isn't he?
He is. He's not thinking out of his own personal health and his life, and I think he He wants to stay in that office as long as he can and contribute, and that has to be inspiring to all Americans. And I hope he stays there a lot longer.
I do too, and I certainly don't want to hasten his departure, because I think he's made a great contribution. But think about this. I mean, the guy is very ill, has been very ill. He's obviously in the last years of his life. And to be continuing to do this important work, as opposed to just, sitting around and contemplating his life. I mean, you just got to admire that.
Well, there's a lot of people who think that in a situation like that, and a lot of Americans believe this about themselves, that there's a tendency when you stop working, people have a tendency to keel over, as Alistair Cook once said, and he worked into his 90s for the BBC.
Right.
And he doesn't, maybe he feels by going to work, he'll live longer. My father believed that. My father worked into his 80s.
Absolutely.
A lot of Americans do.
My mother and father both retired and then went back to work.
Yeah.
Stand by, Don. We have to take a quick break. 20 till. We'll be right back after these messages. We're not going to keel over, folks. Don't worry. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Don Lambrow, Chief Political Reporter for the Washington Times newspaper and a nationally syndicated columnist. His byline, you'll see his byline in many of the newspapers around the country, and I hope you'll check that out when you get a chance. Don, one of the things I want to talk about is this Kelo case, this Kelo versus New London case, which is the Fifth Amendment case where a group of folks. And I want to read a little paragraph here, Don, if you don't mind, of the about the people who were involved in this case. This is a group of homeowners in near New London, Connecticut, and this lady her name is Wilhelmina Derry. She was born in this house that has been owned by her family for over 100 years. She was born in the house. Her husband, they were married in the house, and they have lived there ever since they got married in 1946. Their son lives next door with his family in a house that he received as a wedding gift, and he's part of the petition, the suit, to try to prevent New London, Connecticut from taking this house from them. And there are many other family stories like that where the city has decided that a developer can make the city more money than they're getting and create more economic opportunity than they're getting out of this neighborhood. And so the city of New London, Connecticut is going to take these homes and basically sell it to another private individual, not a public use type of project. What do you think about this case, Don?
Well, I agree with you and others that this is just outrageous and a dangerous move by the court to take away and chip away at the freedoms of individuals, I think it has to be overturned. It has to be changed. We do know over many, many years that increasingly the big developers in the states and localities are the ones that give large contributions to powerful office holders in the state legislatures to get bills through to use this to seize the land and in exchange for those contributions and people are pushed out and paid very little so that big developers and others can make a lot of money. It's a terrible road we've gone down to in this way, and I think this decision by the court opens up a whole new cause that I think the American people are going to rally around, and that is to pass constitutional amendments in the states and new laws that are going to trump the court's decision and overcome the court's decision. You put this on the ballot in a referendum, it's going to be a slam dunk. And I think that's what you're going to see in the wake of this decision by the court.
Well, folks, I want to read some chilling language that came from Justice Stevens, who wrote the opinion for the majority. And here's what he said. For more than a century, now he's talking about the Fifth Amendment, which covers a lot of areas, but one of them is what's called the Takings Clause. The Takings Clause says this: nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. And for almost 229 years, that for public use without compensation meant that if they took your property, it had to be for public use like a railroad or a bridge or a highway or something like that. But what Justice Stevens says is that for more than a century, our public use jurisprudence has wisely eschewed rigid formulas and intrusive scrutiny in favor of affording legislatures, he means locals, local groups, broad latitude in determining what public needs justify the use of the takings power. Basically, Don, if I read this correctly, and you help me with this, he's basically saying that the old ideas of the takings clause being just for public use is antiquated, and that we've got a new body of law that allows for the ruling that they made.
That's right. It's what they've done is extended this far beyond taking property when you widen a road or some other publicly taxpayer-supported expansion by the government in certain lands to improve services and publicly paid for projects, public works projects. This goes into a whole other level where you have private developers, private corporations who want to build on a particular area, and that land is owned privately. And now they say this comes under that umbrella, and it can be taken, and whatever the government will give you in payment, you have no recourse. That just flies in the face of everything that's in the Constitution and jurisprudence, and it was just a dreadful decision. And it points a great deal more to the reason why the Supreme Court nomination is so important. Really, just one vote would have prevented this. One vote would change this.
Right.
And that, of course, is what's going to happen when George Bush nominates the next Supreme Court nominee for this vacancy.
I want to read this in the last few days oft-quoted passage from Justice O'Connor's dissent on this case. She says, "The specter of condemnation hangs over all property. Nothing is to prevent the state from replacing any Motel 6 with a Ritz-Carlton, any home with a shopping mall, or any farm with a factory. Folks, that's taking from private, giving to private, and not taking from private, giving to public." That was the original intent of the takings clause in the Fifth Amendment, is eminent domain taking from private people, giving to public use, not private to private. That's the issue, and we're all going to have to pay more attention to this in the future. Tim Till, as you can tell, I'm really upset about this. Stand by. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Don Lambro is our guest. Don, give us your website there at the Times.
www.washingtontimes.com,
and they can go to the search engine, or they can find your bylines there pretty easily, can't they?
Lambro. Right, Donald Lambro. They can see our website and our front page and all the stories in the Washington Times, as well as the commentary pages and columnists, everything else.
And don't forget to look for Don's byline or in your local paper, too. You're in about several dozen out there across the country, aren't you, Don?
I do.
A couple of times a week.
That's right.
Don, I just want to say one last thing about this Kelo versus New London case. And, folks, this is the eminent domain case that I know you've been reading about it in your local paper, you've been hearing about it, but I want you to start paying more attention to this, especially if you own property, especially if you're even if you're renting property, your landlord could have property taken from him or her based on this case. Don, one of the things that the court did say is they basically kicked it back to the state legislatures, and they said that the state legislatures could really control this, didn't they?
That's right, and that's really what my focus is on the aftermath of this. I mean, when something like this happens, the question is, what do you do about it? And there's a lot that can be done about this, and that's at the state legislature level. And I think you're going to see a movement across the country, just as we saw with the same-sex marriage issue. where you're going to have a lot of laws passed to forbid this and to stop it and block it, and perhaps even state constitutional amendments passed. And this is going to be a popular issue with just the average person who might say to themselves, and sure, this could happen to me next. I see someone has proposed in New Hampshire to seize Justice David Souter's home in New Hampshire to build a hotel on the site of his home. And one of the things the hotel is going to have on its menu is something called Just Desserts. So you're going to see more of that, I think, and they deserve it.
Well, there are some websites out there, folks, that you can go to. And I just don't have them in front of me right now, but I'll get those for you. Don, let's move on and talk about what are some other things that are going on inside the Beltway that we all need to know about today.
Of course, the continuing battle over Iraq and Bush putting President Bush putting more emphasis on building public support for what we're doing there to fight the insurgency and to hasten and move the Iraqi government toward this new constitution that will be written later this year and put up for a vote, and then of course a formal vote on a new legislature. That's very important. You have the movement in Congress on Social Security reform, and that has statements and predictions of its death are a little bit premature.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a bill that's going to come out of the Ways and Means Committee, Chairman Bill Thomas. It's going to be perhaps a more truncated Bush proposal on private plans, and one suggestion is to plow all of the Social Security surpluses into private plans where voluntarily people can put that money into U.S. Treasury notes that they will own, that then they can pass on to their heirs, and that's where we put Social Security money now. It'll be interesting how the Democrats respond to that. I mentioned earlier the fact that a huge wave of tax revenue funds because of a growing economy that is now growing at nearly 4% a year has left the U.S. Treasury with a great deal more revenue than they ever expected, and that has cut the deficit by an estimated $100 billion or more.
Let's hear it for supply-side economics, Don.
This is supply-side economics. It's exactly what Ronald Reagan said would happen when you cut taxes.
It works.
And it does work. It
in America,
Kennedy in the 1960s.
In America, at least, it works. Don, quick question, short answer. How long will it take before the nuclear option rears its head again? How many months?
Well, we'll have to see how the Democrats respond to this. There's a general feeling in Washington at the moment.
I'm out of time. I need a quick answer. How many months?
I don't think it's going to happen because I think the Gang of 14 have put that to rest.
I think it's going to happen within 6 months. We'll see. Thanks,
we'll
Don,
see.
For being here. Good to talk to you. Don Lambrow, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be, too, right after these messages for the next hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.